In the principal act, there is reference to the exchequer act. The exchequer act is received, and the word in bracket basically means that we are, the highlighted and bracket simply means that those words, because they exist in the current act, the suggestion is to remove those and to replace those words with the underlying words. That is removed in terms of the Checker Act 1975 and replaced with as contemplated by Section 49 of the Public Finance Management Act, precisely for those purposes, because it is no longer in operation.
I see change is refilled by this bill, but before this bill was still operating in operation.
When the bill When the Field Development Act was passed in 1998, the Checker Act was in operation. But the PFMA was then subsequently passed, and in the passage of the PFMA, the Checker Act was repealed. But in the Field Development Act, unfortunately, we still have that cross reference. And to align with the current PFMA, that is why we're removing that cross reference because of the fact that that act was repealed. It is not repealing. This action does not necessarily constitute the repealing of the exchequer act. It was done already by the PFMA. What we are simply doing is to align the field development with the PFMA. The auditor general also pointed out and asked indicated to us that we need to clean up the act because it is still missing cross reference into an act.
Meaning that after this, it won't be appearing anywhere in any cross reference. I think that was a good question that the president had asked.
There is a section 14 where we are proposing that we amend section 36 of the current the main act. Section 36 of the main act provides a list of regulations that the minister can make up especially the regulations relating to the apprenticeship, because all along these regulations were in the Mentor Training Act, and with the repeal of the Mentor Training Act, we have to make provision for such regulations under the Skills Development Act. And secondly, a new RB to basically make the regulations around how the provincial skills development forums are going to be established and function in the provincial offices, because we made a new inspection in relation to the provincial offices. So the 14 ANC are basically intended to add on to the menu of regulations for two.
Skills development forum, were they not there before?
Chairperson, they existed, but there was no legal framework. And that is why we had problems when it came to the extent to which they can be funded and whether they have any legal kind of data to can make input in the process of this development, and whether we can really interact with them in a specific way or not. Now the establishment is provided for under the institution, under the Department of Labor. That chapter is chapter 6, the main 6 provided for the establishment. And this is just only to allow for the regulation. Currently they operate on the basis of some kind of a policy or a standard operating procedure document that doesn't have any legal system. And in the Mentor Training Act, we have regional committees, and those regional committees have legal status, but with the repeal of the Mentor Training Act, they collapse, and they operate completely different. What was called regional training committee, but they were in the former four provinces of the then San Juan, Natal, Cape Verde, etc. And then the section 15 I think and then the main one is schedule 2A on the transitional provision. Now in the main chapter, and I think when one deals with the transitional provision, we need to understand the transitional provision in the context of everything that we discuss. Because whenever you make provision for something in the deal, you also have to provide for how the process is going to function between now and the time when the transitional provisions are actually implemented. Now the schedule 2A of the transitional provision comes immediately after the existing schedule 2 in the Principal Act, and it actually made a provision for firstly addition of a number of definitions that are currently in the that is in the Safa Act, and they also make us this the Amendment Act so that we clarify the current Act 2008, the 6K, because of the repeal of the Safa Act, the Manpower Training Act is also adequately clarified, and the Safa Act because of the NPS Act. So we put those in there, and on the main section that we provided for under the transitional provision under 2 on page 14 was to also make provision around how we deal with the contract of apprenticeship that are currently in force, and make provision for them to continue until and to have a smooth transition into the new system. And this section is mainly aimed at making sure that all the existing contracts of apprenticeship that are in force, we are able to move even with the seal of the head to the new development. And we made a provision for all those regulations that currently continue to exist in the Manpower Training Act and how we integrate them with the learnership and so on. The functions of the registrar, the functions of the national industry training board that has been taken over by the CISA, and that of the national training board that has now been taken by the national chief authority. And the other thing that we did was to also make sure that the distance of apprenticeship that needs to be dealt with in terms of the specific that is the Manpower Training Act are now aligned with the basic conditions of the Employment Act, because the cross-reference section 19.1, refers to the basic conditions of employment. Initially, myself as the registrar, I had to arbitrate in the district of an employer and a land after the system and the union has actually deliberated on this matter. And under the Manpower Act, my ruling as the registrar of manpower under the Manpower Act will be final on whether to describe the company to their point or concern the dismissal of an apprentice. But we have now moved this so that we align with the basic conditions of employment, and that any business in employment is handled in accordance with the provisions of the labor relations, because we do have competent and well established bodies that have the resources in the time and the necessary personnel to deal with labor relations, and the trade unions can then represent learners of part of the ministry and to remove the budget from an individual, because all those cases can really, you end up just dealing with cases in the coming construction. So this will then align the problem. That was the main aim of the transition of the program. And three chapters deal with how the conversion of contract of apprenticeship that is conversion of contract of apprenticeship that are imposed at the commencement of the act, and the other provisions made around due to the faith that at least in this text, because we have, like I said, in the meaning of 260 faith. And what we do want is to have a situation where, with the repeal of the act, we throw out all those traits that are inefficient, including the statistics and so on, and that we make provision for those traits to be dealt with the least under the system. So those provisions, in the main, facilitate and ensure a smooth transition, even though the non-functional activity is still in the past, that we are able to
thank you very much. That was for 16. Is that answer yet?
Chapter 5. I have already referred to this one also earlier when we were dealing with the section dealing with the critical. Basically, this makes provision for the coming incorporation of the 2PTO, and that we are able to have a smooth transition between the filters that are currently accredited by SAPA as ETQA, that they will remain, that accreditation will remain until that time that the QCTO is able to take that full responsibility and to have the system. And even in the national qualifications framework bill, it does make provision for that transition that all accreditation arrangements, that is, any provider in the country who has received accreditation status, that accreditation will remain in force because it was issued under the SAPA Act, and it will remain in force until it is lasted and when the QTTO has the formal system to take over and provide for the new delegation. So we dealt with the cross-referendum of the QTTO.
So we are done with 6.4. I mean, are we crossing to schedule 2?
Chairperson, schedule 3, I have addressed it when I was addressing the establishment of the QCTO, because under there is just a cross-reference to say the composition of the QCTO will be in terms of the schedule, and the same applies to schedule 4. Now the only other section that one may want to refer to is section 17, because composition schedule 4 would be a delicate thing. Page 17 is not necessarily a matter that has to do with the skills development, but it is a consequential amendment that is coming up on the Basic Conditions of Employment Act. And the reason why we did that, we also consulted extensively with the colleagues in the labor relations section. The issue here, Chairperson, is that the Basic Conditions of Employment Act 1997 still continues to make reference expansion from the Manpower Spending Act to the Skills Development Act. That amendment was pointed out it would be necessary. Now, to avoid the situation where we have to wait until you know, the stage where there will be a need to reduce some of the aspects on the basic conditions of employment act, it was pointed out that this is a minor amendment which can be effected quite easily on the basic conditions of employment act to make sure that the cross-referencing is in accordance with the act. And I think a good example that we gave was that at Checker Act, what National Checker could have done was to insert a clause when they were, you know, publishing the TSMA to amend the section of the Skills Development Act in the Act. And this is an example we got with great guidance from the federal advisors and our leadership. That we can amend the basic conditions of employment, especially if the method is not that substantive, and to ensure that the alignment is correct and that you avoid those problems. And I think this is one good example because you don't want a learner to be in trouble in terms of logistics at work. And when they approach the CCMA, they are told that you know, your conditions of employment have to be dealt with under the Manpower Training Act when the Manpower Training Act is approved and is no longer in existence. And this ensures that that alignment. Yes, the second one is to also remove in the basic conditions of employment the referencing to the Guidance and Treatment Act of 1981, because this act was also repealed in its entirety when the Skills Development Act was passed in 1998. So that cross-referencing in the basic conditions of Employment Act is also invalid because it is making reference to an act that is not an act. So that is why under C, we also propose a deletion under the basic conditions of Employment Act that cross-referencing to the Treatment and Guidance Act and to replace it with the Development Act of 1998. And that will conclude everything.
Thank you very much. I think that has started to learn from the current issue. I'd like to find out whether it is illegal for the employer to keep the business type of the employee. For an employer to keep the business. Can you repeat the data? Maybe you could give an example of that. Any other place where can an employer say that or not the end for him, keep the employment record, get not at the home. Yeah, can you explain that to you?
Chairperson, this is a provision that is currently in existence in the basic conditions of employment act. And I think that provision in the basic conditions of Employment Act and empowered the inspector to enter and demand, records on a number of things. It could be records that relate to UIF contribution, that was an inspector to compensation, etc. Now, the question whether that is not a role, this is becoming much more and more a difficult one, because there are businesses that are operating from home, and that is why most of our inspectors are also complaining to say that, and some people will basically say, we can't allow the inspectors because this is a private problem, it's not a home, and especially for those people, businesses, or businesses that employ very few people, and coordinated and operating from a house, a home, but operating very well, it is becoming an issue. Now, I can check on the other section of the Act. I don't think there is an issue of being illegal or not, and I can confirm the colleagues in the labor relations section and the inspectorate divisions around the enforcement and how to deal with the question of records at home, because it could be a lot of records. Some people would say, yes, we can keep records, and I think I wanted to use this one example where people will have, records at the company, and the inspectors will go in, and when they want records, some inspectors can say, but we will have them at home as backup, or because of fear of break in, and fear of losing all our records in the company. So I also can't remember a specific case where we had an employer taken to court for keeping records at home. Because if I take work records to home to work overnight, I could have taken the employment records work overnight, but that I can finish work over the weekend and bring them home. So it is a very tricky one to say whether it's illegal or not. But as for the enforcement, we can check if there is a need for the solar commission.
Thank you. We are done with Clause 17. Is that acceptable? Maybe we should break for tea now. Then that will be the last clause which I think we can do the answer. And then we'll see how to go through that. While the meeting can also be the state law advisor to bring this amendment so that we come to a formal voting for the same reporting. Coming at 11, what is it that let's stretch our legs and wait for tea. Okay, let's stretch our legs. I don't know, we've been waiting in the street. I thought it was 11. We can just break for 10 minutes. everyone has got the A list as amended, the proposed amendment. Can we be together? We should start. I think we should start now. We are going to be discussing the A list, going through these amendments. The bill. I hope you all have copies of the bill. On plus one, and the state of law, we change the law advice to if you have something on each and every group of which are amended to create opportunities. So I think we should give you now the problem. There is an explanation on that, and then it's very much like we then.
Thank you, sir. What I'm going to do is going to go through the A's and as the tools being submitted to the committee with that now. And as a rule, the amendment that were proposed by the department to be inserted in the bill, that is the bill that is before the committee. So, I would just like to sort of show where those amendments are going to be incorporated in the bill that is before the committee. So the first one is in clause one. The proposed amendment is on page 3 of the bill. In line 7, where it is proposed that the addition of all professions, that clause, I mean, that definition, which is occupational qualification, means a qualification associated with a trade or occupation resulting from web-based learning and consisting of knowledge unit standards, practical unit standards, and web experience unit standards. So now, what we is proposed is to add profession. So, as you can see, the list of our proposed amendment, it removes of occupation and to substitute with occupation or profession. The way it is written here is sort of to address the printing people to understand exactly what is, they have to do and where to put that is infection.
When we finish with the entire floor, then if we agree, then we have to go to another floor.
So, the second thing that is going to is proposed on clause one, that is, which is the definition clause, is on page 3, from line 15, which is to omit the definition of placement and to substitute it with the one that is that means placement being placing an individual in a placement opportunity with due regard to the code of good practice in terms of employment of the act 1998. This is what the department was proposing yesterday, and the members agreed to. So it's just now to speak to the president to effect the change.
Just to remind the chair, something was the proposal that talked to human strategy policy. I don't know if it's on the same now. But it also had to do with the employment activity. If there are any questions, I can't find it in my name, but I know that human strategy is directed to the process of.
In the meantime, can you continue? We'll come back to you. You what it is that you want, what is the benefit of it? Okay. We'll come back to you. We'll continue.
Clause 4. In clause 4, it was agreed that the change of the number of the voting members from 5 to 6, and to change the word training to reflect the skill development. That clause proposes just that. It says on page 4, after line 40, to insert new paragraphs A and B, and the existing paragraphs become C, D, E, F, G. In the bill, there are only 5 paragraphs that are amending Section 6 of the Principal Act. Now, by the addition of the new paragraph, the number increases to 7 paragraphs, M, F, and G. On page 5, in line 7, after the word if, there is a proposal of omitting the chairperson or and to substitute the chairperson or. What is happening there? That amendment is there in the bill, but it is not underlined. So we are instructing the printer to underline that because it is not there in the principal text. That's why it is there. And on page 5.
If you remember, members, underlining, you mean that is the same section.
What is happening is almost just a standard that as an amendment in the bill, there was an omission on the bill to underline that those words because they are not there in the principal act. So the printers will be confused as to what is happening. So now this is an instruction for them to insert those words. That is the language they understand.
Okay.
Number three, on page 5 again, in line 9, the you say we omit the one that is there in the bill, which is 1A or, but a substitute with an underlined one. It's a, in a sense, the same explanation. On clause 11, of
chapter 9, do we agree with clause 4? We will only be passed if we really agree or disagree if there is something. But if I say we agree and then we keep quiet, then I don't know. Agreed? Clause 4? Agreed. Then clause 11. Let's go back to clause 1. Did you find something?
There is also a small petition because as the case may be, and that within 90 days also be underlined. If you look at the handout, it's not a change, it does it, it's not underlined. It's the same code.
Can you tell us what number
within 90 days? Within 90 days, it is there in the bill.
In which clause? Clause 1? Are you talking to the one that was raised by Mr.
Or
are you going to go in? Can you find something from what you raised?
Yes.
Okay, can you also deal with it? But please ask for it. Tell us which clause is in our question number.
Thank you, just adding on the that is on page 5 in line 9. If you go to the amendment, it says substitute 1A more. Now what I was adding was that within 90 days, it is also there, but it was not underlined, and then within 90 days, the new discussion which must also be underlined, and we add that on the page.
If you get it, members, then, in the 8th list, clause 4, number 2, where it is on page 5.
Under the one that was raised by Honorable understatement, the suggestion there was to say a statement means placing an individual in a placement opportunity with due regard underlined the code of
procedure. Yes, page 3, 8.
Yes, page 3, 9.
Line
5.
Line 5.
Line 15. Yes, the line is the one on the right. That's it. The report said was that there was a small omission there. Just the insertion of with placement means placing an individual in a placement opportunity with due regard to underlining the code of good practice, and then on the integration of implementing equipment into human resources policies and practices, underlining it.
What do you want to do? Do you want to
do? Okay,
appear is only the question of study. Can we then go to from 11?
And don't forget to me today, underline the line today. On page five, in line 3. I just want to. On clause 11, on page 9, in line 53. It was discussed yesterday to omit as prescribed and substitute which is in accordance with the prescribed requirements. And on page 10, in line 6, to be in line with the L2F bill. So it was proposed that the framework, the word framework should be changed to reflect staff framework. On page 10, that is number 2. In line 6, to omit the computational frame, qualifications framework, and substitute it with an occupational qualification framework. An occupational qualification staff framework.
When you say sub-framework, how are we going to know that sub-framework, that it's written framework?
Exactly, that's what I'm trying to correct it now, because it is, that is exactly what is we were changing. And if the entire thing is
That's why I'm saying there it doesn't say a sub framework, but underneath it, on three, it does.
Line is
So two should be deleted.
Yeah.
And two, three become two.
No,
because
three has been deleted. No. Why? Because three has got some framework that we want, but two doesn't have. It just have. Instead, it should say an occupational qualification sub framework. Well, it's not written there. Now, which number should be deleted?
It's the three that has to be set. It was just a position. It was an error. It was a position. So that one that changed referring to is online is that the sub framework for quality assurance. That is one which is on three now. Number four, on page four, on page 10, from line 22, there was a proposal there that is in the subsection. This was the director general must provide the two people own with the financial resources necessary for the performance of this partnership. So the proposal was that that one is not enough, and the recommendation was that a new sub-clause should reflect the money that the two CTO receives, that is with the money that are given by appropriated by Parliament, the income money earned from services the grants and donations made to it and money received from any other thing. That is the essence of the amendment process. As the General Sova explained yesterday. I don't know if I can check for this.
Yeah,
we will only speak that as it appears on the bill and replace it with the music. That is on the
page 13.
On page 13, a proposal was made. No, it's not a proposal in actual fact. It's just that amendment is there in the bill. It's just that it was not underlined. Because what is happening now, all that part that is not underlined is the being underlined, that is the instruction to print that to underline that portion. Number six, on page 14, in line 49. Line 49 is right there at the end of the that clause which will be framed to be listed. What is proposed there is to change that 26 and substitute it with 26 capital letter B paragraph 8. That is the only change that is proposed on that change. Yeah.
Okay, paragraph 8.
On page 15, in line, that is from line 2. From line 2 to omit item 6 and to substitute with a new item 6. Start item 1 and start item 2. Start item 1 on the item 6 is already existing. It only B, which has been changed to the sub item 2. That's what is happening in that B is there, but expanding on that sub item 2. A B in the bill reads such as to sub item A. Any accreditation of any educational training provider remains in effect. The new proposal is, which is 2, is going to read it as read as the accreditation of any educational skills development provider by Instructor ET2A remains in effect until the accreditation last is withdrawn by the CTA or is withdrawn in terms of regulations made under section 26J of the Act.
Manpower Act 1991 to
provide for skills development institutes, to provide for quality counseling of trades and occupations, to clarify the legal status of productivity of Africa, to clarify the legal and governance status of the National Skills Fund, and to provide for matters connected therewith. Can I get a number for adoption of the motion of the adopted by the Chairman? Yes, second. Second by the President. Thank you very much. And I think that I'm fine for that and the update for. Can you now come to cross by cross and vote for each and every job? We are not done yet. You have your birth and the age. Now I'll go through each plot and then we will vote for it. If it's the amended one, it will be like what amendment? Cross one, can I get a movement? What amendment? Is that agreed? the report, the skills development amendment Bill D49 of 2008, report of the portfolio committee on labor on the skills development amendment Bill D49 2008, National Assembly Section 75, dated the 6th of August 2008. The Portfolio Committee on Labour having considered the subject of the Skills Development Amendment Bill D49 of 2008, National Assembly, Section 75, referred to it and classified by the Joint Trading Mechanism as a Section 75 bill, admits the bill with amendment D49 2008. Can I now get the mover for moved by Ndaze Nkonzi, seconded by Mrs. Rainer. Thank you very much, members. Well done. And before we break, thank you very much, the committee section, I can see the head of the committee section is here also to come and we are also confirmed that well done to the committee. Starting from the minister's office, thank you very much. And of course, PMG, thank you very much, madam. And of course, the parliamentary legal advisor, thank you, sir. Now, with the parliamentary researcher, the last one, that Morochova, thank you very much. I'm sure though it has been very too much for you, but we thank you very much. And that working relationship together with the legal advisor, we thank you very much. And we will be informing you. Next week we will be looking at the bill. Of which it will be coming from the printer just to come, and we will check if we really need one of you, but in that condition, because she is around here, she should be present, or she should be ready to be there for the police. If we could be there, it would be too much for the environment to come there. But thank you very much. Your place of destination. Then, members, it has been very easy task. We assumed that we were going to go through beyond the week with this, but it has been very simple, and I really feel that we all have the same feeling that this is not a controversial bill, but we will be guided by senior people here. If we have to debate this, then we will have that opportunity. But I doubt if it is a procedure that we have to debate this if we don't want to. But we really need on Tuesday again to finalize this, Tuesday at 10 o'clock, where we will be also talking about preparations to go to, as we have been asked, as the committee to take part in the People's Parliament. And I think we all agree that we will be attending to that the names, because as you can see, I said they have made copies for you effort even to look at the team of the people's parliament. And I hope those who are not attending because of some circumstances, please inform the church before the end of the week. Lastly, thank you very much, Pat. I think we all work together nicely. And members, please write a with their home. There is lunch prepared outside in the lunch. Thank you. Just a minute, if you want. Yeah, I'm sure they will be. I'm sure it was just an omission from my secretary there, because I said she must circulate everything.